Good morning.
All right. Hey, so we're doing a series. We started a series last week called Spectrum, and so we're continuing that series. And if you ever need to know, like, the epitome or something that kind of embodies what a spectrum is, look at Shelly and then look at me. And then you get one end of the spectrum to the other. You go from a 2 to a 10. Shelly a 10, I'm a 2. So that's a spectrum. Anyway, we were talking in the sound booth, and we're like, we can just go dismiss the experience. It's over. Shelly preached and played. So we're going to do some role reversal. I will sing my message today since Shelly preached. And then nobody will ever come back to motion. So again, we're continuing a series today called Spectrum. And a spectrum, by definition, if you don't know what it is, or maybe you've heard it and you just never really thought about it, it's a scale of comparison based on position between two extreme or opposite points. So if you've got, you know, one thing way over here and the exact opposite of that thing over here, the spectrum is every point in between, every point of difference in between. And so kind of some of the things that we talk about with respect to a spectrum is like old and young, right? Or maybe healthy and sick, or weak and strong. So these are things that you get the idea. It's just you've got one thing on this end of the spectrum and then the complete opposite thing on the other end of the spectrum. And so that's what a spectrum is. And so what we're looking at, kind of what we want to learn through this series, is how God is at work in every aspect or variation of the spectrum. Because I think what happens in life, I think what happens just kind of as you go through and you do your thing and you go through the day-to-day, is that it's easy to forget that God is with you when things are good, and God is with you when things are bad. And God is for you when you're struggling, and he's for you when you're conquering. Like, God is with you and for you through every season of life. And we have a way of allowing our minds, or maybe it's just, you know, kind of the human condition. When things aren't going our way, it's easy to fall into this belief trap that, oh, God must not be good. Or maybe he's not as good as I thought he was. Or does he really love me? Like, I hear that he loves me, and I thought that he loves me. Because I think, for whatever reason, that's one of our first maybe defense mechanisms. When things aren't going like we think they should go, we kind of start to question, and we kind of start to doubt. And so what I hope we learn through this series is that God is at work in every single aspect, phase, point on the spectrum. And then the second thing is, we're just going to talk about the faithfulness of God. You know, as we sang that last song, like, if you ever need a better expression of the faithfulness of God, you need help, right? Jesus is an expression of the faithfulness of God. Like, in spite of our faithlessness, in spite of our failures and faults and flaws and all of the things that we've done wrong, God in his faithfulness sent Jesus for us. So that's the greatest expression of God's faithfulness. But we're going to look at some things kind of with respect to the spectrum today and see how it applies to us. Because here's the deal. This has always been my motto, or my mantra, my idea. If we learn something in church and we can't go out and do something with it, then we've wasted our time. Right? Like, man, I know a lot of really smart people and like, you know, theologians and scholars and really smart Christian people, and they don't do anything with their knowledge. And I'm like, what's the point? Like, then seminary becomes cemetery because you just died, homie. Right? So that's what we're going to look at. It's how today, specifically, we're going to look at how God is faithful in every season of life. And again, we fall into, when things aren't going our way, man, we are some whiny butts. Right? Like, we just have this tendency, when things don't go like we think they should go, we get all drama queen and diva on God. And you need to back off of that train just a little bit. You need to take some perspective, take some time to look and have the right perspective and see that God is at work. And what's really cool is that when you make it through a struggle or you make it through a season, you can usually look back and see with clarity, oh, I see what was going on, right? And when you're in it, you're like, this is stupid. I'm so angry. I'm so upset. God, where are you at? And you get through it, and you're like, oh, there he was. There. We have one of my son's friends plays on our football team. He the way he talks is like, he's just so chill. He's so cool. And so we were at the house one day, and they were playing Where's Waldo? And so he saw Waldo instead of like all of the other kids. He's like, there he is. There he is. I found him. He's like, he points at him. He goes, there you go. There you go. So when you get to the other side and you get through the season, you get through the struggle, you can look back and say, there you go. So what we're going to look at today, kind of to help us to understand the spectrum and kind of, you know, the seasons within the spectrum, is the rainbow, right? You guys like rainbows? Rainbows are spectacular to me. You ever just stop? Man, I think sometimes we're just in such a hurry that we don't enjoy all of the beauty that has been created for us to enjoy. I mean, we just don't take time to, when it, as much as I hate the rain, like the rain creates a lot of beauty and it makes, like we live, East Texas is beautiful. If you will stop and look at, I mean, aside from the 90,000 degree heat, but if you can get past that and you see how green it is and the trees and all of the things we have, and if, even our sky is pretty, you know? Do you take time to look at these things and appreciate these things? I don't know where that came from. We're not tree huggers, but we do appreciate nature, and we believe that God created all of those things. So one of the things that you'll find in life and in Scripture is that God uses things, symbolism, and metaphors to convey the timeless message of his love for us. Like he uses the things that are around us to point us towards him. It talks about in Romans 1 how nature, all of nature kind of points us to God. And so you can look at things like trees and how they grow. And you can look at seasons within trees. Like trees have seasons as well. Like sometimes you're growing and sometimes the leaves fall off. Right? And sometimes you have seasons like that. Sometimes you're growing and sometimes the leaves fall off. Right? That's probably better than we understand. Right? And so God just uses things to convey the message of his love and his faithfulness to us. And so you'll see references of the consistency of the sun rising and the sun setting to convey the character of God. Like, hey, he's there from the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, right? And one of those cool Old Testament verses that you feel like all like jiggy-jiggy with it when you say it, it's like, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And it's just, it's one of those things that just reminds us, man, he's there from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, and at every point during the day, he's there. And so you use things like that to kind of represent the character and nature of God. He uses the nature of animals and the characteristics of animals to convey who it is that he is to us. Because here's the deal. We like books with pictures. I'm going to let that sit in, right? I like books with pictures. Like the simpler you can make it for me to understand, the better off I am. And so God uses pictures to convey who it is that he is. And so then there's the rainbow, right? So we all know what a rainbow is. It's a meteorological phenomenon, right? It's a meteorological phenomenon that's caused by reflection, refraction, and dispersion of light and water droplets resulting in a spectrum of light appearing in the sky. We all knew that, right? That's probably the one thing that we all knew before we started today. No, but seriously, it's a meteorological phenomenon that's caused by reflection, refraction, and dispersion of light in water droplets, resulting in a spectrum of light appearing in the sky. And so you probably learned this when you were a kid, that there are, you know, the color spectrum of a rainbow, and I forget what all they are. There's a few that we'll look at today. And so the interesting thing is that a rainbow is a color spectrum. Lock that in the vault. The rainbow is a color spectrum. And in Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 through 17, you find the use of the rainbow as symbolism. It's a sign of a covenant in the Old Testament. And so this is what it says. And it says, and God said, there's a lot of ands in there. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all the generations to come. That means us, like down the line, down the line, down the line, right? I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. And so in context, this is after the flood, after Noah and his family were saved. And this was the covenant that God made with Noah that, hey, anytime that you see rain and you see a rainbow, just remember that I'm not going to kill everybody again. That's faithfulness. Because let's just kind of talk about this. It talks about it, I think it's Genesis chapter 6. It says that every thought of every man on earth at the time was wicked and evil. And God was just like, what have I done? Like, I created all of these knuckleheads, and I don't even know what to do with them. And so he had the flood. So the flood essentially wiped out all of humanity except for Noah and his family, and they started all over. And so God, in his faithfulness to us, said that it doesn't matter how awful you get or how bad humanity gets, I'm never going to do that again. It's a sign of his faithfulness to us. And so it says in verse 16, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. Simple enough, right? Here, let's just reduce this down to the irreducible minimum, right? The things that we need to know about that. The rainbow in this particular, the way it's used in symbolism, it's a symbol of the faithfulness of God. A rainbow is a symbol of the faithfulness of God, and it also happens to be a spectrum. Interesting, right? You know what we do with colors? We use colors to express our feelings, our moods, and our state of being, right? We use colors to express how we're feeling. We use colors to express what we're going through and the state that we're in currently. We use colors to describe those. So I just think it's really fascinating that it's a spectrum of colors that God used as the sign of his faithfulness. And colors are symbolic of how we feel and where we're at, what state we're in. So this is kind of the thing that I took away from it. I don't feel like I'm stretching too much. If I am, let's do yoga together, okay? That was funny. Takes a minute sometimes. You guys are warming up. We're getting there, right? And so I just find it fascinating that God uses a spectrum of colors, knowing that colors are things that we use to express how we feel and where we're at in our life, to convey his faithfulness to us. So when you're blue, God is faithful, right? When you're feeling down and you're feeling discouraged and you're feeling depressed and you're kind of like the psalm that we've looked at a few times in the last few months, and it's like, why are you downcast, oh my soul? And then it follows up with hope in God. And what's the solution? Well, you just remember that God's faithful even when you're discouraged and even when you're down and even when you're feeling depressed and even when things aren't going like you think they should go, God is faithful. And that's what we need to remember. When you're feeling blue, God is faithful. When you're red, you ever been red? Sometimes, I don't know if you believe this or not, but pastors, they get upset too. Anyway, so when you are upset, yeah, not this one, but other pastors, other church pastors and stuff, right? When you're upset, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, have you ever had a season in your life where, man, you're kind of frustrated because you don't understand what's going on? And maybe you're doing the right thing, and things still don't seem to be going the way you think they should go. It's okay. I had this conversation with a 9-year-old kid yesterday, right? It's okay to be frustrated, but it's how you respond in your frustration that makes all the difference. That's what really matters. Like, God is not too small to handle your frustration. He's not too small to handle your anger. It's okay to be upset, but we need to stop before we say something stupid or do something stupid and remember that God is faithful. Regardless of what you go through, regardless of what you experience, it's how you respond to it that matters. And God is faithful. Just because you're upset, just because you're mad, doesn't give you a right to do whatever it is that you want to do, right? I think we all know that. Just because a situation gets you out of sorts doesn't mean that it gets God out of sorts, right? Just because something flusters you or frustrates you, it doesn't mean that it frustrates God. So remember that God is faithful. Another color in the rainbow is orange. And orange, I didn't really know this. So, you know, this is thanks to Google, the poor man's Harvard. That Google means cheerful and enthusiastic. And so we're not just talking about the bad. Let's talk about the good stuff, too. When you're cheerful and enthusiastic, I think it's also important at that time to remember that God is faithful. Because you know what we have a tendency to do? When things are going good, we're like, what God? God who? Right? Because, you know, we assume that it was all based on our efforts and merit and work, that we're being living in a season of success and prosperity or whatever it may be. And so when things are going well, we kind of have a tendency to forget about God. And in the first sign of trouble, oh, Lord. So what we need to do is when things are orange, when things are cheerful, when things are enthusiastic, when things are going your way, just remember that it's God that provided those circumstances for you as well. He doesn't just make a way out when things are going bad, but he's also the one that made the way to where you're at when you're comfortable and cheerful and enthusiastic. So just remember in those seasons that it's God that orchestrates the good times as well. And it's funny how we do this. Like, we only assume that when bad things happen or calamity takes place, that it's like, God, what are you doing? But then when things are good, we're like, man, I'm awesome. Now, you got to be responsible for one or both. You can't pick and choose which one you're responsible for and which one God's responsible. He's either responsible for both or he's not responsible for either. You're either responsible for both or you're not. So this is what, when things start going bad, you'd be like, oh, I screwed up. That's on me. But we don't have to do that. Man, y'all are making me feel a little, you know, nervous this morning. Speaking of nervous,
This is how I feel right now. The green. Now, that would be the next one. We'll save that one. Green is a color that we use to kind of communicate sick or envious. We use the expression, you're green with envy. Have you guys ever heard that? Right? So it's often associated with sickness. And so I was kind of thinking about this can be a literal sickness or kind of just a metaphorical sickness. Like if you're sick, you need to remember that God is faithful. If you're struggling with your physical health or your emotional or mental health, you need to remember that God is faithful. And it's also associated with envy, like we said. And so I think we do this. As our culture, the culture, the society that we live in, there has probably never been a more envious society on the face of the earth. So much so that we've coined a phrase, keep up with the Joneses, right? And like we make fun of it, but we do it. And you see something that somebody else has, and you're not content with what it is that you have, so you'll sacrifice your time and the things that really matter and the relationships that you have to get the things that other people have. And it's ridiculous that we do it, but we do it, right? And so when you're not content with your circumstances, when you're not content with the things that you currently have, it would be wise to remember that it's God that gives you what you need and God that gives you what you can handle. And if you're trying to go outside of the scope of what it is that he's given you, sometimes you're just creating disaster for yourself, right? Like we do this and we kind of celebrate it in society. We celebrate people who are workaholics when they sacrifice 60, 70, 80 hours of their week and neglect their family. But hey, they're successful and their family hates their guts. Right? Like, that's not success. And so what we need to do is just remember God gives you what you've got. God is the one that is the provider of you and the things that you have, even your ability to work. There's a really cool verse in Deuteronomy, and it's like, just remember, hey, it's the Lord who even gives you power to get wealth. Like, it's God who gives you the ability to go to work. It's God who gives you the mental capacity to do the jobs that you do. So what you have is a gift from God. Stop being envious of the things that other people have. And remember that he's faithful to give you what you need, because sometimes we think what we want is what we need, but when we want something so bad, we probably couldn't even handle the thing that we want. I got a little carried away on that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, and it kind of just reminds me of the whole situation. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except which is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And I was thinking, you know, obviously this is specifically referring to sin and temptation and the struggle. And sometimes I think that our materialism crosses over into sin. And our envy of other people crosses over into sin. And when we want things so bad that other people have, it's a sin. And what you need to remember is the things that you have are the things that God wants you to have. And if you had any more, you'd probably be struggling. And you probably couldn't handle it. So what you've got is what God believes that you can handle. So that's green. The last one is this. The last color that we're going to look at is yellow. And yellow is symbolic of something that grabs your attention. This is my favorite emoji, man. Right? I send this to Shelley all the time. Like, usually when I did something wrong, I'm like, I'm glad none of you ever do that. So it's attention grabbing. I thought this was interesting because I didn't really know that yellow was kind of what it stood for. So I was just kind of thinking about how this plays out in our lives kind of on a daily basis. And I was thinking, it seems like once a week or a couple of times a week, something happens that kind of grabs our attention. It kind of shakes us, like a tragedy or calamity or a terrorist attack or a hurricane or something crazy happens that kind of, it shocks us a little bit. It grabs our attention. And I think it's just a really good reminder to us that God is faithful even when things happen that we don't understand. And things that happen that are out of our control, it's important to remember that God is in control of those circumstances as well. And I think more importantly than just knowing it, it's important to know it before you go into it. Right? It's important to know who you are before you're faced with a struggle. It's important to know what you believe before you're put in those circumstances. Shelley and I, we were in youth ministry for about 10 years. And so, you know, one of the topic with teenagers is, hey, you know, knock it off. Don't get in the back seat of your boyfriend's car. I don't know how we had sex. I don't know. You were in the room all alone with your boyfriend with Marvin Gaye playing in the background. Bow chicka bow wow. I don't know how it happened. I can tell you how it happened. But if you go into a relationship, just as an example, you go into a relationship with some boundaries and be like, hey, this is who I am and this is what I stand for. This is what I will do and this is what I won't do, honey. right? Then when you're put in a situation, you're like, oh, no, boy, you know, put a ring on it. Oh, now you guys are laughing. It's, all the good jokes were earlier. You guys laugh at the corny jokes. Sex sells, apparently. So I was just, you know, it's important to know what you believe, and it's important to remember that God is faithful, and it's important to be grounded in that truth before you're faced with something that shocks you, before you're faced with something that happens in your life that just kind of, man, it really messes with you. Because if you live long enough, you're going to be faced with something that you're just like, oh, wow. And then when you're faced with it, you have one of two responses. You either draw back and you remember that God is faithful, even in the face of this calamity, in the face of this adversity, God is faithful, or you succumb to it and you're just like, I don't know what I believe anymore, right? And you've seen this happen to people, and I think it's usually because they're not constantly reminding themselves of the faithfulness of God. And if you want to remind yourself of the faithfulness of God, look around you. Like, look at the lives of the people that God is impacting. Look at the transformation that's taken place in their life. Look at the things that he's created, like we talked about. All of creation points to the faithfulness of God. So those are some of the colors on the spectrum, specifically within the rainbow color spectrum. And so the idea is just wherever you find yourself on the spectrum, whatever emotion you find yourself in, whatever state of being you find yourself in, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says this: God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, really, that's just, to me, again, the greatest expression of the faithfulness of God is Jesus. And so God is faithful, and he called us into this fellowship, into this relationship, in spite of us, through Jesus. He called us into this communion and life with God, and that's the faithfulness of God expressed and embodied. The second thing, the only other thing we're going to look at today is just living proof. I have a friend, Shelly and I, we've got a friend, and their dad, you ever have those dads that are like, man, I wish that was my dad, because it's like one of those really cool dads, but you probably wouldn't want that to be your dad. That's a cool dad at a distance until, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? That's probably how my kids feel. Like all the other kids are like, oh, I wish you were my dad. My kids are like, so embarrassing. But we had all of that to say. We have a friend whose dad was just one of those crazy dads, and he would always run around. Anytime something happened that he kind of, you know, thought he proved a point on, he's like, living proof! I'm living proof! So I thought it was funny. So here's some living proof of the faithfulness of God. We're going to wrap this up by looking at a survivor of the spectrum, and his name was David. And we've talked about David quite a bit the last few months, and I think it's just because the older I get, the more I appreciate his honesty and the struggles that he went through and the victories that he had and the defeats that he experienced, and how through all of that, God remained at the center of his life. Even when he was a sinner, God remained at the center. Ooh. So, golly, y'all got some tomatoes? Y'all just waiting to bring them? So this is one of the things, one of the many things that David said in the Psalms about God's faithfulness. Psalm 37, verse 25. This is so good. He said, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. And so at the end of his life, David, he's up there in years. He's probably graying in hair and not getting out of bed as easily. And it's a three-part process, right? And he's older. And he said, I used to be young, and now I'm old. And through that entire spectrum, I've seen the faithfulness of God. When people put their life in his hands, he takes care of them. And things may go up and down some, but through that, God is faithful. The word forsaken here, it means to leave, forsake, abandon, and let alone. And so what David is saying to us, God is never going to leave you. He has never left you, and he never will leave you. He's never abandoned you. He's never forsaken you. And he's never going to leave you alone. He's always going to, I love the idea that you will never be left alone. Because I think so many people in our world feel lonely. You could be in a crowd of people, a room full of people, and still feel lonely, right? And God will never leave you alone. Like you can't, we talked a few weeks ago how you can't escape from his presence. Like wherever you go, there he is. Just like wherever you go, there you are, right? It's the same thing. Like wherever you go, there he is. And I think just having the privilege of looking at an overview of David's life should give us some confidence to face the things that we face. David went from extreme highs to extreme lows and extreme lows to extreme highs. And he kind of through all of that said, hey, God is faithful. He went from being a shepherd boy to being a king. Like the lowest of the lows, hanging out with the sheep who can't talk and stink and they're the dumbest animal on the face of the planet, to being a king in control of millions of people, went from the highest of highs to lowest of lows. And through that spectrum, what did he say? God's faithful. God is faithful. He had a son that tried to kill him. And then he had a son that went on to become the wisest and wealthiest person who ever lived in Solomon. Absalom, his other son, tried to kill him. Literally, his son tried to kill him. And then his son Solomon went on to become extremely successful. He went from the lowest of lows in Absalom to the highest of highs in Solomon. And through all of that, David said, God is faithful, right? He went from slaying a giant, I think the proper terminology, he slew a giant, to going, this is kind of, I just thought about this in our terms, like your work, right? So David got the job of working for Saul because he slayed a giant, and then he went to work and his boss threw spears at him to try to kill him. And you thought you had a bad day at work, right? He went from the highest of highs. He's like, I slayed a giant. Everybody in Israel knows who I am. I am the man. And he goes to work and his boss is like, unfortunately, he was nimble, right? He was quick. He got out of the way. He went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. And you know what he said through all of that? I was young and now I'm old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen them abandoned. I've never seen them left alone. I've never seen them lonely and away from me and apart from me, because I'm with them always, wherever they go, to the ends of the earth. That's the distance that I will go to be with you, to express my love to you, to communicate how much I care for you. You are never, ever alone because I'm faithful. Like, that's what God wants us to know. That's what we need to take away from this today. So this is what we need to do, wherever you are in life. Dude, I know we came in, every one of us probably has a different story and a different struggle. And the week that you had is probably different than the week that I had and the next person and so on. But we all know the season that we're in. We all know the color that we're in. And what we need to remember is that whatever color you're in, whatever season or state that you're in, man, God is faithful. And some of us, more so than others, can say, hey, I was young and I'm getting older and I've seen the faithfulness of God. I've seen the goodness of God. I've seen how God works through crazy circumstances in my life to communicate his love and to exact his purposes in my life. And so what we need to do is not fight that, but embrace that. Wherever you are, whatever you're going back out to face tonight and tomorrow and this week, remember, God is faithful. As you think about the struggles that you've got and the victories that you've had, you think about the adversity that you face and the prosperity that you experience, God is faithful. From one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, God is absolutely faithful. So let's, as we leave, let's embrace that, man. Like, let's, whatever you go through, remember that God is faithful. Whatever struggle that you have, God is faithful. Don't fight it. Don't blame him for the things that happen. Look at how he's working in the struggles and the adversity that you experience. God is absolutely faithful. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much just for this opportunity that we've had today to experience and understand you just a little bit better. God, I'm so thankful that we serve a God who's been there and he's done that. Jesus was a high priest who was empathetic towards our struggles because he experienced our struggles. God, he faced everything that we'll ever face. He faced every temptation that we'll ever face, yet he was without sin. God, we are so thankful that you sent your son as the greatest expression of your faithfulness toward us. And that, God, if we're ever in a season where we doubt, and if we're ever in a season where we're wondering where you are and what you're doing, that we would stop and remember that you are faithful. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, God, that you are still worthy of our praise. That at the highest part of our day, God, the high noon, when the sun is at its highest point, and maybe we're in a season like that where everything is going well and everything is going according to our plan, so we think. God, help us to remember that it's you who gives us those circumstances. And God, maybe we're in a season of darkness, and maybe things aren't going like we think they should, and maybe we're frustrated, and maybe we're confused, maybe we just don't have the answers to the problems that we experience. God, I pray that you would help us to remember in those seasons that you are faithful. God, from one end of the spectrum to the other, that you are faithful through it all. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.